Let us turn to Holy Scripture, to the first book of Samuel, the first chapter. The first book of Samuel, the first chapter. And we will read the entire chapter. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early, and worshipped before the Lord, and returned, and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide for ever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck, until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition, my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Thus far the word of God. Our text for this afternoon's sermon you can find in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the verses 27 and 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, the verses 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Our text tells us how Samuel is devoted to the Lord. And we see, first of all, this child, a gift from the Lord. And secondly, this child, a gift for the Lord. Samuel devoted to the Lord. This child, a gift from the Lord. And secondly, this child, a gift for the Lord. First Samuel tells us of God's rule over his people. And though the Lord is greatly displeased with Israel, and though their sins rise up against Israel, he is not done with Israel. In fact, he is going to raise up a king, a man after God's own heart, David, from the tribe of Judah. And from him will come the great son of David. And now in the opening verses, we are introduced to a family in Ramathaim Zophim, in the north of Israel, among the people of Ephraim, a place that in the New Testament would be called Arimathea. The times in which we find ourselves at the opening of 1 Samuel are dark times. The days of the judges, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Man went about his life doing what brought him, he thought, the greatest happiness. This way of thinking did not stay just among a few people, but it also made its way into the family of the priests, into the house of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. Things were not good in Israel. Things were also not good in the tabernacle, in Shiloh. Apparently, in Shiloh, there was a lot of drunkenness. It was so common that Eli, when he saw Hannah, he thought there was another drunk in the tabernacle. Further, immorality was not unknown, and the priests Hophni and Phinehas were the culprits. If you want to summarize the priests there of Hophni and Phinehas, they were thieves, robbers of God's glory. But now in the opening verses we meet with Elkanah. 1 Chronicles 6 tells us that he is a Levite. And when we meet him, he is a man who is devoted to the worship of the Lord. Each year he would leave his city and he would go to Shiloh to worship the Lord of hosts there by the tabernacle. The worship of God had a high place in his home and in his life. But Elkanah had two wives. And for this he had to pay a heavy price. Unrest, jealousy, bitterness in his own home. You see, from the beginning it was not so. We are introduced to a second character, one of his wives, Hannah. And she had almost everything that a Hebrew woman could ask for. She had Elkanah, a husband of some financial means, and he was a husband who also loved her, and he was not indifferent to the worship of God, but she did not have him for herself. She shared him with Peninnah. And on top of that, Hannah had another cross. She did not have any children. This was not an easy thing for her. It was a difficult providence. The Lord had closed her womb. No, she was not the only one in the Scriptures with this difficult providence. We meet also with Sarah. We meet with Rebecca, Rachel, Manoah's wife, Elizabeth. They also were barren for many years. What a trial this can be. Especially when someone like Peninnah rubbed it in and provoked Hannah. And what Peninnah did was no small thing. She tormented Hannah. And she tormented her right in the house of God. That's where she chose to stab Hannah. In the back. Where could Hannah turn? Well, Elkanah tried to show his love and he tried to show his sympathy for her, but she found no comfort in his words. And there was really no human helper for her. Then what? Now what? Well, then turn to the Lord. And that's what Hannah could do. And is that not also what the psalmist urges those in need to do? Does he not say also, cast thy cares upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee? And so Hannah is a woman who pours out her heart to the Lord. As another psalm puts it, to thee, O Lord, I humbly cry, to thee my supplication make, to thee I bring my sad complaint, to thee my bitter grief I take. You know that we can go to the Lord with our bitter grief. And do you know what it is to do that too? Do you know what it is to pour out your heart unto the Lord? To give it over unto the Lord? There you are in the midst of a great trial. Where can you find relief? Well, with the Lord. And so when the meal is over, we find Hannah rushing to the entrance of the tabernacle. And with bitter grief and with much tears, she goes to the Lord. But will the Lord regard her? Yes, she is persuaded that the broken heart of a maidservant matters to God. Why? Well, because of the kind of God he is. She knows that God regards the afflictions of his people. He has shown that also in the Old Testament when his people were in Egypt. Then the Lord remembered his people Israel. And so with full persuasion she says and cries to the Lord in verse 11, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall not come, that shall not razor come upon his head. And so she confesses that she is a handmaid of the Lord. That tells us she is concerned with the kingdom of God. And so when she asks for a child for the Lord, she does not ask for a man-child that would be famous. and that would be rich, and that would have many talents, and would be great. That doesn't matter to her. All that matters to her is that her man-child would belong to the Lord. Is that also your desire, parents? That your child and your children would come to belong to the Lord. Oh, it may be that others will not understand you. And that's how it is with Hannah. She's praying before the Lord, and Eli looks on and thinks she's drunk, and says, "How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee." But she answers, "No, my Lord, rather I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord." And when Eli understands, here is a grieved woman of Israel, he blesses her. "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee the petition that thou hast asked of him." And then Hannah is no more sad. She is still without a child, true. She has been taunted, true. She has been misunderstood, true. But no more sad. You see, it is possible to not have what you want and still be content. Or as Paul would later say, "I have learned in whatsoever state therewith to be content." And if we could ask the question of Hannah now, how come, Hannah? Why are you now content? Why are you no longer sad? She would say, "Because I could unburden my heart to the Lord, and the Lord heard." And so that tells us of someone else. That tells us of another one, God. We are directed to the Lord in 1 Samuel. Also, He is in focus. I mean, the God who had closed up Hannah's womb. The God who had led her in this difficult providence. We are directed to Him. He who had ordained this way. But He was a God to whom she could go. And in the midst of the times in which she lived, in the midst of those dark times, God shows Himself to be the hearer of prayer. And He is still at work in those times. How do we know? Well, because He has supplied a throne of grace. And He gave the prayer to Hannah to bring to the Lord. And you see, even in the bitterness and in the bitter condition of Hannah, Hannah does not become bitter against the Lord. She brings her bitterness to the Lord, but she does not become bitter against the Lord. How come? Well, because the Lord has upheld her. He would supply her every need. And then Hannah left again. Did Eli think on her after this? Would Eli remember this event as he would lay on his bed at night sometimes? We don't know. If Eli did not remember, God did. It even says so. And the Lord remembered her. In other words, His eye was upon her. He knew her tears. He treasured her tears in a bottle. And even if many people forgot about Hannah, God did not. And He gave her to conceive a child. And a son was born. And she named him Samuel, which means asked of God, or heard by God. And then Hannah keeps this boy by her until he is weaned. which in those times could easily have taken 3 or 4 years. But the time comes when she, after she has weaned him, takes him to the temple. And she brings a generous offering along of 3 bulls, a bushel of flour, and a bottle of wine. And she brings the offering to the Lord. And then she appears before Eli. Do you see her standing there? The boy of 3 or 4 years old by her side. And Elkanah is there too. And then she reminds Eli of the time that she had been there by the tabernacle. And then she tells him what she had prayed for there. And she says this, "For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. For this child I prayed." What a blessed child to have a mother and a father that prays for you. It is not only a blessing, children, to have parents who feed you, who care for you, who give you medicine, who clothe your body, but it is a blessed thing when parents pray for their children, as Hannah did. In all simplicity, but in earnestness, bringing the need, also in her case, to the Lord, to the God of heaven and earth. And it is here especially that the Lord is set forth as the Lord of hosts. That's how He is often named, even in this first chapter in Samuel. "For this child I prayed," Hannah says. Can you say the same thing? Parents, "For this child I prayed that he would be born, that he would be kept, that he would be healthy, but especially that he would be saved." Can we say, "For this child I prayed"? Oh, and the child brought us great joy in our home. "For this child we prayed." But also, when this child brought us great grief, and when he hurt us, and when he brought sorrow to our hearts, still, "For this child we prayed." I prayed that God would give him a new heart. I prayed that he would be born again, that the Holy Spirit would be given to him, and that he would come to know the Lord Jesus. Have there been times when you've kneeled in your closet, you've prayed in the house of God for your child, for your children? "Lord, remember my child in mercy. He has a wicked heart. But art thou not the God who has given them to us? And art thou also not the God willing to show mercy to the chief of sinners? Art thou not the hearer of prayer? For this child I prayed." But Hannah confesses that this child is not for herself, but for the Lord. And that's our second point. This child, a gift for the Lord. And so she says, "And therefore I have lent him to the Lord." She gives back what she had asked from the Lord. And she says, "As long as this child liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." This child is for the Lord. The Lord may do with Samuel what he pleases to do. And that's why she brings him to the temple. Is this something that we must imitate here? And we must also go to Shiloh, as Hannah did, and bring our child there to stay there. Well, there is something unique about Samuel. There's something unique in this case. For after all, Samuel is going to become a prophet of the Lord. And he's going to have a specific task in the history of Israel. And after all, he is a Levite. But is there not this that we imitate Hannah in? A God-fearing parent will find that the gifts God gives them, they devote to the Lord. The children God gives them, they consecrate to the Lord. Oh, it can also be much different, of course, that we lead our children in all the things of the world. Oh, it doesn't take much for us to make them belong to the world. All we have to do is live for ourselves. All that we have to do is live for our money. Chase the dream to get ahead in the society. Acquire what the world advertises us to acquire. It doesn't take much, and our children will follow us in those paths, and we have devoted them to the world. We have devoted them to the idols of the world. But it can also be different. That when we show our children, and when we show the children that with all the possessions that we have, and with all the shortcomings that we have, yet we can show our children that we have a pearl of great price, the Lord Jesus Christ, who means more to us than all the possessions and all the things in the world. And we can show our children that we love Him most. And then we do something different. Then we give our children back to the Lord. And then we open our Bibles in our homes. And then we speak in all simplicity to our children, even before they can understand what we are saying. But then we speak to our children and we speak in earnestness of the Lord and of their need. And then we bring them to the house of God so that they may hear the Word of God there too. And then we teach them to pray. And then we especially look to the Lord to give His Spirit of grace and supplication so that they may come to pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we teach them why they need mercy. We teach them that they are sinners, and that they have bad hearts, but that they may not go in the ways of sin, and that they may not go in the ways of the world because God's name is on their forehead. And then we tell them also of the Lord Jesus, who is willing to save, who is able to save, who is able to give a new heart and bring a people to Himself. Do we know what Hannah did? Is that what characterizes you and me? That we devote our children to the Lord. What would our children say of us? For our children, they can see through all our hypocrisy. What would they say of us? My father, my mother loves the Lord Jesus. And they desire my eternal good. Do we devote them to the Lord? Or do we keep them back from the Lord? How much don't we keep back from the Lord? By nature, we are not so willing to give back to the Lord. We want everything for ourselves. The Lord gives us strength, and then we want to show that strength to others, and we want to exert that strength for ourselves. We are a people who keep back from the Lord. We want to cling to everything that the Lord gives us. The home that He gives us, we want to cling to for ourselves. The work that God has given us, we want to work just for ourselves. Or have you come to see something else? What is there that I have not received from God? Have you come to see that all things come from God? That everything is a gift that flows through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that everything is from God, and it is also to be for God. My home is to be for God. My heart is to be for God. My children are to be for God. All that I am, I owe to Thee. Ah, but is Samuel willing to serve the Lord? What a journey Samuel must have had. There he came as a young lad to Shiloh. His parents have told him of this place, and at last he sees it. And how he must have looked around in awe, and with big eyes, in wonder. And he sees the tabernacle. And he sees Eli, the high priest. And what does he do? We read, and he worshipped the Lord there. A 3 or 4-year-old boy on his knees before the Lord. Do you see it, children? This 3 or 4-year-old boy on his knees right by the tabernacle. Young people, do you see him there? Does that describe you, young people? Children, you are taught to bend your knees. You are taught to pray, aren't you? This is something that parents teach their children. Someone says, when you look at Samuel there as a 3 or 4-year-old, is that now true worship by Samuel? Is this not just simply something that his father and his mother have taught him to do? He's just imitating his parents, that's all. He's just copying his parents. But there are worse things that a child can imitate from his parents. Plus, look again. See this boy there worshiping God. And look around at the other priests, Hophni and Phinehas. What are the others doing there by the tabernacle? It has become a place that is largely a place where there is no service of the Lord, and where the men and the women are engaged in sin, and where there is no worship of God. It's a place of ungodliness. And soon Hophni and Phinehas, their lives will be required of God. But here is a boy who bows. He doesn't bow before Eli, but he bows before the Lord, and he worships the Lord. And is not God able to make a 3 or 4-year-old boy or girl serve Him from the heart? And is this not what a God-fearing father and mother also desire, that their children would praise the Lord? Well, then Hannah has to let him go. The time comes for her to leave him there. She had only had him for a few years. But now she has to let him go. Oh, she had waited so long to have had this boy. And now for her to leave him at the tabernacle? Maybe someone says, is that not too risky? She knows what is happening at the tabernacle. She knows what's happening with the sons of Eli. They do not fear God, and Eli does not reprimand them. Must she now bring this child to be with such people around him? Will he be safe there? What would Hannah have said? What would Hannah have done? With those questions, I think she would have given them over to the Lord. For if the Lord heard her and gave her this boy, and if the Lord has provided for her, then He will also provide for her Samuel in that place. Even though that is a place where she is grieved by what is happening, Hannah is convinced God is in that place. Oh, I know this can be the struggle still for a God-fearing father and a God-fearing mother. How shall I bring up my child in this world? There is so much that wants to take the children away from the Lord and influence them for ill. And then they have their own hearts too that are wicked. Yes, but Hannah sees something that we also need to see. She sees that God is faithful. God is faithful. And that shines through here, doesn't it? You see, we are not just being told some history, some family history that you say, well, that's all nice to hear all this. It's nice to hear how things went there in the Near East, in those early days, in the time of the judges. It's nice to hear also that there was a God-fearing family. But this is not just about family history. This is about God's kingdom. And it's about God being at work to glorify His own name. Israel has deeply fallen into sin. Everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. There is disobedience. There is drunkenness. There is immorality. And that all at the house of God. And the Lord cannot let that go unpunished. And His judgment is going to come upon Israel. And it's going to come upon Eli. And it's going to come upon Eli's house. And that's what will be told also in the chapters to come. Samuel is going to hear it from the mouth of God. The judgment upon the high priest and his home. But that is not the end for Israel. Because when God comes with His judgments on the house of Eli, He comes with Samuel to be born. And he comes, and this boy may be brought there to Shiloh to serve him. How come? How come this is taking place? It's because it does not depend upon Abraham and his seed. Then all would have been hopelessly lost. But it does not depend upon them. Sin will be punished also in the seed of Abraham. Also those who have the sign and seal of the covenant. Ungodly families will be punished. But God is faithful. And He is so faithful He gives Samuel to the nation of Israel. So faithful He gives this child. And so faithful He will give another child. Child promised of God, which the people of God throughout the ages have prayed for. And they have been on their knees begging God, oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. And God answered that prayer so that it could sound, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Lord. And then Mary is going to sing. And her song is very much like the song of Hannah in 1 Samuel 2. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And why did God give His Son? Well, in order that He would be a prophet like Samuel, but not like Samuel as a prophet only, but He would go to give His life as a ransom for many. He would shed His blood in order to wash from sin. And that's what baptism also preaches. This water points to the blood of the Lord Jesus. He gave His Son in order to save the guilty children. And that's how we can give our children back to the Lord. No, then we don't leave our children behind at church. But then the Lord does say, also by the baptismal font, give me your child. Bring them to me. Bring them up in the fear of my name and for my service. And that's reasonable, isn't it? After all, he has given the child to you. And then to do anything else would be to dishonor him. To raise them up with the things of time and sense would be to dishonor God. It would be to grieve God. And then the Lord would have to complain. This couple received the child from me. And it seemed like they were giving their child back to me. But after the baptism service, nothing came of it. Nothing could be seen of it in the upbringing of their children. Nothing could be seen of it in their prayer life. They never pleaded for their children. They never gave them up to me. And the example they gave, it was not the life of godliness. Oh, they pretended to give them to me. But there was no fear of God in their hearts. And so, in practice, they gave them to the world. The Lord will hold us accountable for the vow we have made. And what have we done with it? What have you done with my word? And what have you done with your word? You vowed you would bring them up in the fear of the Lord. And have you brought them back to Him? Have you seen your need of Him? Have you seen that you must have your children under the word of God? And have you seen that you must bring them to the Lord, pleading also His promises, for He is faithful, and He does not forsake the work of His own hands. He desires to be a gracious God in the Lord Jesus Christ. But He uses means. He used Hannah. He used Elkanah. He used His word. He uses the throne of grace. And what if you sit here and you say, and now I look back on the years that God has given me with my children. And maybe you sit here and you say, I don't see much good. I've seen, I failed. Is there a word for you? Yes, this word. Let us not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin. For there is still mercy for the chief of sinners. And if God can show a guilty father and mother mercy, He can show your child mercy too. And then we see Samuel bending his knees. And in the next chapter, we see Hannah on her knees, singing her song. Singing of God, His greatness, His faithfulness. Blessed are all those who know what it is to bow with Samuel and with Hannah, who learn to worship God. Whether they are young or old, such are blessed, and they have a future. What future? Let me use the words of Revelation 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and they cried with a loud voice. What did they say? Salvation be unto our God that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Somebody asks, who are those before the throne of God? The answer is this: they which have come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, they are washed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is blood in Jesus Christ to be washed. And Samuel was washed. Why not you? Amen.